Sehr geehrter Herr
Federal President, Ms. Büdenbender, Mr. Schwarzmann, Federal Chancellor, President of the Bundesrat, President of the Federal Constitutional Court, Excellencies, Ladies and Gentlemen, esteemed colleagues, Auschwitz, January 27, 1945, around 3 p.m. Tanks of the Red Army are driving to the gate with the sign Arbeit macht frei, work makes you free. The soldiers are young men, among them Russian, Ukrainians, Chechens, Georgians. With their tanks, they are breaking through to the gate to the Auschwitz main camp. One truck is following the other. Soldiers are jumping off. A bit later, 3 kilometers away, the 21-year-old David Duschmann is breaking through the barbed wire of Auschwitz-Birkenau too. The young men are battle-tested. The sight of bodies is an everyday occurrence to them, but none of them is prepared for what is waiting for them in Auschwitz. Hundreds of bodies, an acrid smell, the stench of burnt flesh. Dark ash is falling on the snow from above. Gradually, figures emerge from the barracks. They stop at a loss. Emaciated, their heads shaved, with hollow faces and lifeless eyes. This is what the reports of various eyewitnesses state. Let me quote Grigory Yelisavetsky, one of the first Soviet officers to reach Auschwitz. I entered the barrack. I saw living skeletons lying on the 3-tiered bunks. As in a fog, I hear my soldiers say, "You are free, comrades." I sense that they do not understand. I begin speaking to them in Yiddish. Only when I said to them, "Do not be afraid, I'm a colonel of the Soviet army and a Jew. We have come to liberate you," the barrier seemed to collapse. They rushed towards us, shouting. They fell on their knees, kissed the flaps of our overcoats, and threw their arms around our legs. And we stood motionless, while tears rolled down our cheeks. End of quote. And I would like to quote Eva Moses. She was 10 years old back then, and she had been in Auschwitz for 10 months. We ran up to them, and they gave us hugs, cookies, and chocolate. Being so alone, a hug meant more than anybody could imagine. We were not only starved for food, but we were starved for human kindness, and the Soviet army did provide some of that. End quote. According to research, around 7,000 people were liberated from the Auschwitz camp complex, several hundreds of whom died during the months after the liberation. Most of the prisoners had been murdered by the SS before. Tens of thousands had been sent on death marches to the West. These horrific events took place 80 years ago. Horror does not pass. One lifetime is not enough to heal such trauma. Ladies and gentlemen, I went to the Memorial and Museum Auschwitz-Birkenau last summer. The place seems peaceful in an uncanny way. The sun shines there too. You don't hear the screams of the people who suffocated in agony in the gas chambers. You don't see that the ashes of the murdered were scattered on the field behind the crematorium. I was very impressed by the work of the Memorial and Museum Auschwitz-Birkenau and by the work of the International Youth Meeting Center. However, places are not enough to remember. I met survivors on my trip to Auschwitz, and when they tell their stories, you start understanding what Auschwitz means. When we listen to them, we become witnesses ourselves, witnesses to their stories. For me, it's a miracle that the survivors are willing to talk about Auschwitz. And it is a miracle that there are still survivors today. The fate of the vast majority of those who came to Auschwitz ended at the ramp, in the gas chamber, in the crematorium. These children, women and men, could never tell their stories of suffering. A resounding, immeasurable silence for more than 80 years and forever. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to set something against this silence, we commemorate all victims of National Socialism every year on the days of Auschwitz liberation at the German Bundestag. We commemorate the 6 million murdered Jews of Europe. We commemorate the victims of the German occupation and extermination policy, especially in Central and Eastern Europe. We commemorate the murdered Sinti and Roma. We commemorate all people who were persecuted due to their political conviction, their Christian faith, or because they were Jehovah's Witnesses. We commemorate the persecuted queer people, the people who were disparaged as asocials, and the victims of the so-called euthanasia program. We commemorate the prisoners of war and forced laborers who were exploited and disenfranchised. We commemorate the fighters of resistance who were executed. We commemorate all survivors who have been scarred by these experiences forever. We commemorate the families and descendants of the victims and survivors who are forced to come to terms with their family stories. Ladies and gentlemen, our ceremony of remembrance is accompanied today by the music of two composers whose lives were shaped by escape and persecution because of their Jewish roots. Gideon Klein, whose musical piece we've just listened to, deserves a special mention. The day before yesterday was the anniversary of his death. 80 years ago, just hours before the liberation, he was murdered by the SS in Auschwitz. I would like to thank the young musicians of the Berlin University of the Arts for playing these musical works for us today. It feels good to see the younger generation take part in this ceremony of remembrance too. I would also like to welcome the participants of the International Youth Encounter. You went to Auschwitz, you listened to survivors. By this, you carry the memory of National Socialist crime into the future. Federal President, you were at the big ceremony of remembrance in Auschwitz the day before yesterday, too. Thank you for addressing us today, too. Ladies and gentlemen, there are fewer and fewer people who can tell us about the atrocities of the Nazis from their own experiences. Some of them are here today. On behalf of the entire Bundestag, I'm delighted to welcome you in the gallery. I would like to extend a special welcome to Ms. Friedländer. And we are especially grateful, dear Roman Schwarzmann, that you have come all the long way from Odessa and that you too will address us. Thank you. You are the chairman of the Odessa Regional Association of Jews, former prisoners of ghetto and Nazi concentration camps. As a child, you lived in the Burchard ghetto, and you will tell us about it today. You are committed to establishing a memorial in your hometown, a worthy memorial dedicated to the tens of thousands, mostly Jews, who were murdered by German and Romanian troops during the Odessa massacre in mid-October of 1941. Dear Roman Schwarzmann, Russia's illegal war of aggression against Ukraine has stopped your plans for a memorial for now. Instead of creating a memorial, you now have to worry about your children and grandchildren in Ukraine. I very much hope that this memorial in Odessa will soon come to exist. We have to continue to show and do research on how inconceivably far-reaching the crimes of the National Socialists were, especially today. Historic awareness is of utmost importance. It is up to us to preserve the testimonies of the contemporary witnesses also for future generations. Conspiracy theories and propaganda are rampant in real life and in the digital world. The liberation of Auschwitz by the Red Army and its fight against the National Socialists is misused to justify oppression and war, for example. Ladies and gentlemen, there are some people who do not no longer want to hear about the Holocaust. They want to get rid of our historic responsibility at last. I am saying, we must never shirk our historic responsibility. That is why we must not cease to look, to listen, to empathize. Antisemitism has been gaining ground. Not only, but especially since October 7th, 2023, Jews are threatened and attacked openly. Nothing is won forever. These are the warning words of Piotr Czwinski, the head of the Memorial and Museum Auschwitz-Birkenau. We have to be honest to ourselves. Many Jews don't feel safe in Germany. We are seeing disappointing setbacks in the fight against antisemitism, and that hurts. Recently, a Jewish father asked me, "Can you assure me that my children will be safe in this country also in the future?" I would have loved to answer wholeheartedly, "Yes." But the question remains open. The answer lies in our hands. Last year, we adopted a resolution with great majority in order to protect and to strengthen Jewish life in Germany. An important message. Now, we have to commit to this resolution and breathe life into it. Compassion is not a task that we can just delegate, for instance, to politics. Each and every one of us should ask themselves time and again, what am I willing to do for this never again? Thank you.
Dear Mr. Schwarzman, Madam President of the German Bundestag, Federal Chancellor, President of the Bundesrat, President of the Federal Constitutional Court, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen. In a residential building in Odessa, there is today, somewhat hidden, a small Holocaust museum. There, in a glass case, lies a thick piece of rope as long as a person's arm. I cannot forget the photo of it. I saw it a while ago and it stayed with me. Dear Mr. Schwarzman, we met 4 years ago at the memorial at Babinyar. When we met again yesterday, you told me the story of this rope. This rope is the only object that still preserves the memory of a girl from Odessa. The girl was called Rosa. Rosa was still in school and she had a good friend, Yakov. They sat next to each other in school. Rosa was 16 years old when she was murdered in the autumn of 1941. In those days and weeks, thousands of Jewish children, women and men, were killed in Odessa or driven out of the city to nearby ghettos. When Rosa was hanged, solely because she was Jewish, her friend Yaakov watched her die. She was left there hanging for 1 week. Yaakov saw her body and he couldn't do anything. And when finally her body was taken off, the only thing that was left was this rope. And in his grief and his despair, he left the crime scene with the only thing he could keep of his friend, a piece of the noose that killed her. Ladies and gentlemen, many decades later, an old man came to the museum in Odessa carrying an old bag, the museum that you, Mr. Schwarzman, founded together with others in order to preserve the survivors' recollections of the Shoah together with others. And it was Yaakov who came. He brought the rope, told the story of Rosa's murder, and said, "Now I can die in peace, because my childhood friend receives a decent memory." And you told me last night that he died 2 months later. Ladies and gentlemen, what the Germans and their fellow perpetrators carried out in the area that is now Ukraine was a campaign of annihilation. It began even before the Germans had implemented their plan to systematically murder Europe's Jews in camps. Jewish life was virtually extinguished in Odessa, in Babinya, in Chernivtsi, in Kherson, around Kharkiv, in Dnipro. Today, we remember Rosa and all of the other children, women and men, who were murdered at that time in Ukraine and across Europe. We owe it to the victims to honor them with a dignified memory, and we will not forget them. Dear Mr. Schwarzman, you yourself are a survivor of the Shoah. You were trapped in the Bershad ghetto in what was then Transnistria, trapped as a five-year-old boy with your mother and together with your siblings. You suffered hunger. You suffered fear. And you saw your brother die. As a small boy, you were, for a long time, surrounded by pain, horror, barbarity. You bore witness to a mass murder. The unbelievable suffering you had to endure did not break you. You made it your mission in life to give a voice to the survivors of the Shoah in Odessa and the area that is now Ukraine. Without people like you, Mr. Schwarzman, there would not be a place where Yaakov's memory of Rosa could still live on. Today, you are committed and dedicated to create a memorial to the victims of the massacre in Odessa, and Germany supports you in this endeavor. I am deeply thankful to you for traveling to us from your home city that is under attack to remember and pay tribute with us here in the German Bundestag. It is an honor for me to have you here speak to us. Let me assure you, my country stands by us, by your side in your important work, but also stands by Ukraine's side in this terrible war, the war that is waged by Putin against the people and the freedom of Ukraine. We will continue to support you. We stand by your side and we will remain by your side. Thank you so much for being with us here today, Mr. Schwarzmann. Ladies and gentlemen, we have come together today to remember the victims of National Socialism. 80 years have now passed, a long time measured against a human lifespan. 80 years now have passed since the Auschwitz extermination camp was liberated by the Red Army on the 27th of January 1945. We all have images in our hearts and minds that represent to us the horror of the Shoah. And in recent days, we have once again seen those photographs that have long since have become symbols. We have seen the black and white videos filmed by the liberators. We have seen the heaped bodies of the dead, the gaunt faces of the living. We have seen all of this time and again for 80 years. It is necessary. And yet there is a danger in this too. The oft-seen images, the well-known words of warning, the routine of remembrance, they bring the danger of a false and thus deceptive certainty. They make it easy for us to believe that we have fully understood what happened. They make it easy for us to believe that we know everything. And so they make it easy for us to give in to the temptation to file away all of these images, stories, and words in a large box in our minds labeled, "This was all a very long time ago." But, ladies and gentlemen, time does not change what happened. The truth cannot be packed away in a box. We must face up to this truth anew, time and again, and we cannot let up in our efforts to tell later generations about these events. We will have fewer and fewer opportunities to hear from survivors and witnesses themselves. We will have to find new ways of remembering, not only, but in particular for young people, ways that first and foremost emphasize wanting to know, ways that make it clear that we are not just the young people, all of us, we're all still seeking, still learning. It is a duty for our generation everywhere in Europe to work against forgetting. And allow me to add, a duty that we cannot fail in. This is why I am so thankful at this time in particular for the people who research, teach, and work in Germany's memorials. The fact that these memorials are today vandalized and attacked for political reasons, that staff are insulted and threatened, is unacceptable and must be a wake-up call for us. These systematic attacks are directed at to intimidate, to destroy, and ultimately to discredit memory and to rewrite history. And the fact that memorial sites have to spend much more for security measures, I think it is a shameful thing, and we must not tolerate this in our country. Ladies and gentlemen, Madam President of the Bundestag just said it 2 days ago, on Monday, I was in Auschwitz together with the survivors of the Holocaust and representatives of German politics. It is not far from Berlin, our capital, where everything that happened there was thought up. Standing there between the barracks means standing before a still unavoidable truth. Germans organized and committed these crimes against humanity. Germans opened up this inhuman abyss. They planned, measured, and calculated it. The victims walked into it and on to the end. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, this place makes it clear to us that the Shoah is a part of German history. Whether we want it or not, it is part of our identity. And so it is not possible to draw a line under our history. And thus also, it is not possible to draw a line under our responsibility and end our responsibility. Never again is what we say, not just today. Never again does not only mean that Jewish people must be able to live safely in Germany, in Europe, and in Israel. It means that they are, will, and will remain a part of our shared we. This never again can no longer mean tackling evil before it takes on. Hold, as Michel Friedheim rightly warns, in my point of view, it should read, let's think of the end if anti-Semitism becomes day-to-day life in our streets, in our places, in universities, in schools, then it is something that we cannot accept and tolerate, never can accept and tolerate in our country, ladies and gentlemen. We Germans have drawn lessons from our history. We built our constitution on those lessons. Human dignity is inviolable. This is the answer to the tremendous crimes against humanity. Our democracy is the answer to racial hatred and nationalism. And I am convinced these lessons remain right and relevant in a country which is changing, undergoing changes like many other countries as well. These lessons have carried us through a guaranteed internal and external peace for decades. They have seen the growth of confidence and trust amongst partners and in Europe and the world, and even amongst those who have become victims of the Germans. I talked about our responsibility that we continue to have and the success story of our democracy. Both of that goes hand in hand, and I hope it stays like that. I hope it stays like that, because if we suppress, trivialize, forget the Shoah today, then in doing so, we shake the foundation on which our democracy grew. And vice versa, those who ridicule, disdain, attack our democracy today pave the way to hostility, for violence and hatred. Let me get back to Monday and the speeches I heard, the speeches given by the survivors remembering the victims of Auschwitz. Leon Weintraub, one of the survivors of Auschwitz, he's 99 years old. He warned us on Monday, desperately so. He talked to us and he warned He said, take the enemies of democracy seriously. And I reiterate it here and now in the German Bundestag, ladies and gentlemen, take the enemies of democracy seriously. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in times of important decisions. It is up to us to preserve what was achieved and to protect our democracy. Let us not go back into a dark time. We know it better. Let's do it better. Thank you.
Panie prezydent Bundestagu.
President of the Bundestag, Federal President, Federal Chancellor, Members of Parliament, distinguished guests. At the outset, I would like to express my sincere gratitude for the opportunity to address you here today. Today, I stand before you as a person who experienced one of the cruelest sides of human history. My personal story is a story of survival, of struggle, and of hope. My story is the story of millions of people who can no longer tell their own stories. I was born on September 10th, 1936, in the Ukrainian village of Bershad. We were 9 children. We lived in great poverty and in a narrow space, a big family in 2 rooms of a tiny home, with the floor and the walls made of clay. There were only 2 beds, each of which was shared by 4 people, but we were alive. At home, we only spoke Yiddish. I still speak this language very well. At school, we only spoke Ukrainian. Judaism was present in our village. Around half of its inhabitants were Jews. We knew about it, but we didn't talk much about it. After the war, when we got older, the Soviet authorities let us know that many things were not allowed for us Jews. We were not allowed to go to university, for example. The Jews have always tried to remain faithful to their religion. Even when they assimilated, they preserved the Jewish values and the dignity of the Jewish nation. In 1936, my father became a communist. My brother Lazar and I were not circumcised, in contrast to my 4 brothers who were born before 1936. There was no rabbi in our village. Religion was banned. The Soviet authorities did not only oppress the Jewish, but also the Orthodox religion. They destroyed synagogues and churches. My mother cultivated the Jewish tradition in her own way. She didn't brag about it. She did it for herself. In our village, there were many older Jews who had fought during the Great War. They said, "We don't have to flee. The Germans are decent and cultured people." They couldn't imagine what was waiting for us. When my father and my older brother were drafted into the Red Army on June 23rd, 1941, my father asked my mother to bring us to a safe place because Hitler's hostilities against the Jews were already known. Our escape did not last long. These were 2 horrific weeks. We were driving nowhere in a horse-drawn cart while being bombed. I remember the cornfields across which we were fleeing from soldiers with machine guns. And I remember hundreds, thousands of dead civilians who were left on the ground while we moved on to survive. Then the tanks of the Nazis arrived. For us, there was no other way out than to return to our village. After that, we spent 2.5 long years in the ghetto behind barbed wire. 2.5 years full of humiliation, pain, lies, and constant hunger. More than 80 years have passed, but I still remember the taste of the water that the occupiers poured out after washing the meat. For them, it was wastewater. But we, as 5 to 6 year old children, slipped through the barbed wire and risked our lives in order to beg for this delicious, greasy water. Maybe it was thanks to this water that we survived. 7 of us children survived, 4 brothers and 3 sisters. When we could do no more than lie on the ground because we couldn't get up anymore due to a severe form of dystrophia, we were rescued in the spring of 1944. In Ukraine, there were around 2,000 places where more than 1.5 million Jews were shot, beaten to death, or burnt by the SS and the Wehrmacht before Auschwitz and other death factories went to their work of extermination. According to historians, more than 25,000 children, women, and older people were buried from the Vinnytsia region, from Bessarabia, and from Bukovina, in my hometown, Bershad, alone. I saw these endless trenches of bodies with my own eyes. I buried my 14-year-old brother, Josip, there, who slipped in winter and fell into the river while doing forced labor. But for the Germans, this was an attempted escape, and they shot him right in the ice-cold water. My mother was already grief-stricken because she had already lost her older son on the front, but they wouldn't let her bury my brother for several days. Friends, I was confronted with death many times, but I also experienced moments of kindness and solidarity in the ghetto. These moments helped us to persevere and to not lose faith and to survive. To survive, to tell the world about the Holocaust, fascism, torture, and other horrors of war. Unfortunately, most of them did not live to see the hour of rescue. To uphold the memory of the victims of the Holocaust has become my life's work. I would like to thank the German Bundestag for the opportunity to come together here today to remember those we've lost. To me, it is also important to establish a worthy memorial in my hometown, Odessa. In the place where 25,000 inhabitants of Odessa were burnt alive just because they were Jews. Because during the night between October 22nd and 23rd, 1941, Jews, older people, women, children, and younger people were herded into 9 empty warehouses where ammunition had been stored before the war. These buildings were sprinkled with a highly combustible liquid and then set on fire. The witnesses of this horrific event reported that cries of pain echoed everywhere. The mothers tried to save their children by throwing them out of little windows beneath the roof, while the Nazis' henchmen tried to outperform each other in murdering. It is difficult for me to talk about it. Since we started to make plans for a memorial in this place of horror, with the support of our German friends, I have been convinced that the people who perished in the hell of war will find a place in the hearts of future generations forever. The construction of this memorial has been interrupted by the Russian war of aggression, but I am sure that this project will be completed. Since Russia started attacking our civilian population, our cities, and our energy system on February 24th, 2022, our lives and our freedom have been in danger again. Putin tries to exterminate us as a nation, as Hitler tried to exterminate the Jewish people during World War II. Back then, Hitler wanted to kill me because I am a Jew. Now, Putin tries to kill me because I am a Ukrainian. On December 29th, 2023, our house was hit by a missile. Miraculously, I could save myself and my wife. We had sought shelter in the basement. But when we returned to the 10th floor, we didn't recognize the flat. Everything was demolished. Odessa, my hometown, is suffering immensely from the Russian terror. I'm seeing devastation and misery again. I'm seeing the faces of Ukrainian defenders who return after being held prisoners of war in Russia. Their stories about the Russian occupiers' torture chambers give me phantom pain. I was in the ghetto. I saw the devil. And I say, we overestimate him a lot. His power is only as great as we allow it to be. I would like to thank Germany for all the support over the last years, including the supply of military equipment. By no means must Ukraine be brought to its knees by the Russian superior forces. There can be no peace without freedom and justice. People who believe that Putin will be satisfied with Ukraine are mistaken. Ukraine needs air defense. Odessa needs air defense in order to protect its people and ports. We need aircraft in order to gain the upper hand in the air. We need more long-range missiles in order to incapacitate the Russian airports and missile depots, which are used to attack us every day. We need your support to liberate the people in the occupied territories. The world must stop being afraid. Ukraine will do whatever it takes to prevent the war from reaching you. Friends, it is our historical and moral obligation to make sure that no one suffers and no one is tortured. I would like to ask you in this historic place today to continue to fight for Ukraine and my hometown, Odessa. Today, we have to do everything in our power again to counter barbarism. This is the only path towards peace and mutual understanding. I'm begging you to give us weapons, to make Putin end this war of extermination. I was able to escape from extermination once. Now I'm an old man, and I again have to fear that my children and grandchildren fall victim to a war of extermination. The memory of the victims of National Socialism must guide us. This memory must oblige us to build a future where compassion and justice are not empty words. Thank you for your attention.